Today's daf is Makos daf Chaf Aleph. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elishav Newman Lizchus for Shalema, for Chaim Naftali Ben from Freda, as well as for Sarah Freda Bas Chaya. They should both have for Shalema Besoch Shar Chole Israel. So we are holding on the bottom of daf Chaf Amid Beis. We're at the two dots. I forgot which two dots. And the two dots that we're going to discuss, the chiyuv, how many chiyuv malchus one could have for cutting himself over a mace, over somebody dying, whether it's for each mace or for each srita or both. And then the Gemara is going to discuss about cutting for a mace, whether it's only biyad, bikli, what's a violation of srita, what's a violation of gedida. Then we're going to discuss the issue of shaving off the edges of the beard, the five spots on the face that one is not allowed to shave, and the difference between using a razor or a scissor or a tweezer or a plane, and those are the different instruments and what the different halachos are depending on what instrument is used. And the Gemara, that the Mishnah then in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to move on to the discussion of tattooing, that one is only chayiv for a tattoo if there are two elements: there's a cutting and there's an inking, that there has to be cut, and then the cut has to be filled with ink. And then the Gemara is going to relate that to Efer Makla al Makaso, that if a person puts some sort of dark medicine on an open wound where it's going to leave a dark mark, it's going to leave a sort of a tattoo, whether that's a violation or not. And that's going to lead us into the broader discussion of what Rav Malki Yos said and what Rav Malki Yos said, because there are similar names and they say different things throughout Shas. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of the page is going to talk about how many times one is chayiv for repeat offenses of the same Avera multiple times in a day. And we're going to talk about all the Surei Nazir from that perspective. A person is drinking all day and he's a Nazir. He's being tamei the Mesim all day and he's a Nazir. We're going to talk about the Yisur of Kalayim. A person continues to wear Kalayim all day. And then on the top of Chaf Aleph and Beis, we're going to go through a case, which is just another example, we keep having them, of places where the Gemara seems to be counting how many surim you could violate at once, where a person is choresh telem echad, you plow one row of a field and you're in violation of eight losases, eight malkios, you chayiv eight for eight lavin. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how when the Mishnah says you chayiv for plowing klayim, it's what that assumes. What exactly did you do with the klayim? Is it mechape beklayim? Is it mekayim beklayim? What exactly is aser when it comes to klayim? And at the end of the daf, we're going to get into, since we're talking about that case of plowing and it involves plowing on yantiv, whether there's such a thing as chilik malachos biyamtiv. If a person violates multiple malachos of yamtov, is that multiple isurim, or is that one isur of yantiv, that he violated an isur of yantiv? So we'll get into all that. Bez Hashem, let's begin now of Amisarit Srita Achas on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan v'sarat yachal afilu sarat al beis v'shnaf al v'asvina s'shtav biyam. You might think that even if a person cuts himself as a sign of mourning for his house that caved in or his boat that sank in the sea, so something terrible happened that was not a death, you might think he's chayiv for that as well. Tamal omar l'nefesh einu chayiv ela ala meis bilvad. It says l'nefesh to teach that this particular chayiv is only when one cuts himself as a sign of mourning over the loss of life. How do I know if a person does five sritos for a single mace that he's chayiv separately for each one? You're chayiv for each and every cut, even if it's all for one mace. Rabbi Yosef says, how do I know that if you do one srita for five separate mesim, meaning the opposite, it's five separate mesim, but you're only cutting yourself once, how do I know you chayiv separately for each of the mesim? Tamalom l'nefesh l'chayiv al kol nefesh v'nefesh. That's why it says l'nefesh to be chayiv al kol nefesh v'nefesh. That's what we mentioned yesterday. Rav Kreisworth, Zichron al Bracha, said that's the answer to the riddle. How could a person do a single mesa and be chayiv 6 million malkios? That a person decides to cut one srita for all the 6 million kedoshim that were killed in the Holocaust. That srita achas, you're chayiv al kol on each mace that you're doing the srita on. So he pointed out that Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that there's another way that that you could do a single maisa and be in violation of so many yisurim, of millions of yisurim, and that is you speak lashon hara about an entire community, about an entire segment of Klal Yisrael. All chassidim are this. All Israelis are this. So that by saying that, that's a lashon hara on kol achas v'achas. So that's a single. Rav Zilberstein wasn't sure that Rav Kreisworth's example is such a good example, because srita al kol achas v'achas might mean that you identify who the people are. That you say, I'm being sorate for this person, for that person, for that. You say 6 million, you don't know who the people are. You just know that there were an overwhelming number of people. So maybe in that case, one would not be chayiv al kol achas v'achas. So says Gemara, v'hapikdei lebeiso shnafel sminaso shatav v'yam. But wait a second. How can you use the word l'nefesh to tell me that you're chayiv al kol nefesh v'nefesh? We already used the word l'nefesh to tell me that you're not chayiv for anything but the loss of life, that you're not chayiv for other depressing things that happened, and you cut yourself over those other depressing things that happened. Says Gemara, kasav Rabbi Yossi, srita ugedida achasi. Rabbi Yossi is working with the assumption that srita and gedida mean the same thing. They both imply whether you cut yourself biyad or whether you cut yourself bakli. And by gedida it says lemeis uksiv hasam lemeis. It says by gedida lemeis. So therefore we have two separate drushas to make. One that says lenefesh, one that says lemeis. So one of these drushas is to teach me that you're only chayiv if you're cutting because of loss of life, and the other drusha is there to teach me that you're chayiv for each loss of life that you're cutting for, even if it's only a single cut. Amar Shmuel, Hamasarit Bikli Chayiv. If one cuts himself with a kli, he's going to be chayiv. So frankly, we're Mesve, Srito, Gedita, Achasi, Elisha, Srita, Biyad, Ugedita, Bikli. They mean roughly the same thing, but Srita is Biyad, and Gedita is Bikli. So how could Shmuel say Misarit Bikli Chayiv? The definition of Srita is Biyad. Says, Marudama Krabiosi. He must be assuming like Krabiosi that Srita and Gedita are Mamish, Achasi, that Srita and Gedita are Mamish, the same thing. And therefore, he could say that Misarit, therefore Shmuel could say Misarit Bikli is going to be Chayiv. Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Almeis Bein Biyad Bein Bekli Chayiv. So it was taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan that when one cuts himself over a mace, regardless of whether he uses his hand or whether he uses a kli, he's going to be Chayiv. Alavodos Kochavim Biyad Chayiv Bekli Potter. But if he's cutting himself as a form of worship of Avodah Zarah, then it's going to make a difference. Then Biyad he's going to be Chayiv, but Bekli he's going to be Potter. As the Rivan explains, Rashi turned into the Rivan a couple of dapim ago. The Gemara said that Kan Meis Rashi, in the Rashi said, "Kam Meis Rashi." The last few Dabim and Makos is the Rivan. So the Rivan explains over here: "Di Yesh Avodas Chavim Sha'ovdinos Abekach Sha'osim Bevesarim Chaburos Btzaos." That there's a type of Avodah Zarah that's the Derech Avoda of that Avodah Zarah. We know when it comes to Avodah Zarah, Hishtachavaya and Shchita and Nisuch, all these there are certain basic forms of Avodah that, regardless of whether it's Darko Bekach or not Darko Bekach, you're always Chayiv Mishum Avodah Zarah because they are basic forms of worship. But when it comes to unusual forms of worship, only that which is darko bekach would you be absolutely chayiv. So there is an avodah zarah that the darko bekach, the mode of worship of that avodah zarah is by cutting oneself. That we learned that it's dafka when you're using a kli, that it's the derech avodah ele'ema biyad pater b'kli chayiv. So you have to switch it around. We have to say that if you do it biyad, that's not the derech avodah, and therefore you can be pater. But you do it b'kli, that is the derech avodah of the avodah zara, and therefore one is going to be chayiv. The chayiv al rosh, and we have mentioned that one is chayiv for cutting off the peos al rosh. Machvi Rav Sheshes ben Pirkei Reisha. So Gemara tells us when Rav Sheshes taught this, he didn't just teach with words; he demonstrated on his head exactly where the Pirkei Reisha are, exactly where the peos al rosh are located. Valazakin shtayim mikan shtayim mikan vachs milamata. Machvi Rav Sheshes ben Pirkei Dikna. Again, when Rav Sheshes was teaching this sugya, he demonstrated exactly where on the face are the five spots of the face that one is not allowed to shave with a razor. Rav Lazar Omrim. Then we had in the Mishnah that Rav Lazar had said that if a person is notel kulin ka'achas, he's only chayv achas, and he's only chayv achi yitlanu bitar. So says the Gemara, Says the Gemara, Kasavar Chad Lavhu, that he holds that it's all one love to all the different spots, and that's why Kulin Kachas Einu Chayev Elachas. Because if you shave with the razor somehow all five spots at once, or both Peos Arosh at once, it's all one Isser, it's all Chad Lav. You're only going to be Chayev once. Veinu Chayev at Shitlan Betar. Then Reb Lazar says, and you're only Chayev if you use a razor on your face. You might have thought that even if you use scissors, you're going to be chayev. That's why it says lo sashchis. Ilo sashchis yachlam liktu b'malakit for hitni yechayev. Well, lo sashchis, I might think, however you destroy the hair, even if you destroy it with a tweezer, that totally destroys it. It pulls it out at its root, or you use a plane that completely pulverizes the hair. So you might think you're going to be chayev. Tamalomar lo yigalechu. That's why it says lo yigalechu. That it has to be giluach. Hashchas is not enough. It needs to be a giluach. Ha ketzad. So what do you have to do to violate? Giluach sheyesh bo achasa. It has to be a shaving that involves hashchas asaseir. So Avi Omer, zetar. That's a reference to a tar. That obviously is therefore a razor, because that is both a giluach, it's normal giluach to use a razor, and it is hashchasa. It completely destroys the air. So how you decide to learn this Gemara, how one interprets this Gemara, is going to determine obviously what one's attitude is toward electric shavers. Do we say that an electric shaver, well, it's a giluach, it's a normal way to shave, and it's a completely hashchasa saseir, it destroys the hair, especially if you believe all the advertisements that it mamish lifts the hair out of the thing, and then the blade goes underneath and cuts it out, and the hair, whatever tiny bit is left, goes back under the skin, so you mamish have nothing left. The Metzius is, he still feels, okay, the Metzius, you can't ask kashas on the Metzius. The commercial says that that's what happens, so you know that that's, so it's mamish hashchasa gemur. Or do you say that, no, it's not based on the result that's achieved, it's based on the process. Is the process a giluach, or is the process a misparayim? Meaning the process of giluach would be a blade that that shaves it off, that cuts it directly. Misparayim is two blades, and the friction of the two blades does the cutting. So if you look at the process, so most of the electric shavers, the process involves some sort of friction-based system, that when, because there's always, they never have the blade go directly against the face, because that's dangerous. So there's always a screen that the hairs go through the screen, and right underneath the screen, the blades are going super fast right underneath the screen and cutting the hair. Now those blades, one might say, are, so that is part of the machlokas, are working against the screen, that the screen is holding the hair in place and then the blade is cutting it. That's more like a scissor, because that's two things working against each other, the screen and the blade. Or you could say, no, the screen's not doing anything. The screen is just protecting your face. But the blade is doing all of the cutting, and therefore, that is a hashchasa. Others would suggest that the kula is that the screen itself protects the face, so therefore the blade never really touches the face, never right against the face, just the fact that you have a screen protecting the face. So these are the issues. Rav Moshe was famously making about electric shavers, although the assumption that he had was that the blades were not sharp enough to cut on their own, that it required the screen in order for the cutting to happen. And the way the blades work, even though they're not super sharp, because when you clean out the shaver, they don't want people cutting themselves every time they open up the shaver to clean it out, so they don't make the blade super sharp, but they make move so fast that it essentially pulverizes the hair rather than cutting the hair. So that's essentially the kula they have. Many of their Yisrael Dikaposkim are much more machmir about this issue. Okay, Reb Lozor Amar, afilu loktu b'mlakit v'ritni chayiv, that even if a person takes out with a tweezer or a plane, he's going to be chayiv. Manavshach, igamr gzeir shavi li bayitar. If you have the gzeir shavi, you should require tar, razor. Ilo gamr gzeir shavi misparayim namian. If you don't learn the gzeir shavi, so then misparayim should also be included in the Yisr. So says Mar Lo, liolam gamr gzeir shavi k'savar haninami giluach avdi. That we assume, he's assuming that malakit v'ritni is also called giluach, that would qualify as giluach as well. So it's a question, so it's not, it's the question, the gzeir shavah of peya, certainly we do learn, but nevertheless, it's a machlokas about what we would consider to be a giluach. Okay, new Mishnah. Hakosev ksuvas kaka. If a person makes a tattoo, kasav lo kakea, kakea v'lo kasav. If a person does the writing without the cutting without the writing, eino chayiv. He's not going to be chayiv ad sheyichto v'yikakea b'dio. It changes to on the side u'bekol. He has to do a cutting and filling with ink or with blue ink or b'kol davar shu roshim or anything that's going to leave a permanent mark. Rav Shimon Yudim Shimon Omer. Einu chayiv at sheichtov shames Hashem. Now, no, you're only chayiv if your tattoo is the shame. The Gemara is going to explain means shame avodah zarah. That the whole idea of a tattoo is that this is the way people used to mark themselves for their loyalties to avodah zarah. So you're only going to be chayiv if one marks himself in that way as a loyalty to avodah zarah. Shnamar ksavus kaka lo tinu b'chem ani Hashem. So that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon, that because ani Hashem, that's the whole iser of ksuvas kaka. So that's an interesting question of exactly what if you do one of these without the other. The Mishnah is very clear. It needs to be a cut and filling the ink. So what if you do a cut that leaves a mark but doesn't, but you don't write with ink on the inside? So that's a major machlokas in the Rishonim. What if you do the opposite? You write with ink but without a cut. What if you decide to write on your hands? People used to be, before everyone had a cell phone with them, if someone would give you their phone number, people would sometimes just write down with a pen on their hand the phone number. So is there any issur in doing that? So Tosfos, Maseches Gittin, writes that even though Midoraisa, there's only an iser when you're kosev and mekakea bidyo bikchol, like it says in our Mishnah. Nevertheless, there's an iser drabanan if you write biksav b'li sheikakea without making a cut, like he says, like it's muchach from our sugya that even efer mikla is aser to put al gabe makaso because it looks like suvas kaka, and that's what the Beis Shmuel says when in Eben Ezer Simkuf Chav Dalid Shulchan Aruch there says by a get that was chakuk al yado shel eved biksuvas kaka. Let's say you wrote a get, you decide to be creative in the way you're going to give a get to your wife, you tattoo the get onto an eved. So the Beis Shmuel raises the question, how do Edim sign on such a get? Because keep in mind, you need to have kosher Edim, but you're not allowed to make tattoos. So if the Ed signs a tattoo on the get, so he's a postulate, he's violating an Isser. So how could he be a kosher Ed on such a get? So and even if you say that he only writes without being memale b'dio, he only writes with making the cut marks, it's still a Rasha Midrabanan. So it must be, so you see that the Beis Shmuel holds that there is an Isra of Kakua Bali Ksav, like Tosos holds. However, the Minchas Chinuch quotes a Mishnas Chacham, Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Reishon and Gimel, that says that from the Rambam it sounds like Kasav Bali Kakua, or Kakua Bali Ksav, is not even an Isra Drabanan, because the Rambam does not even say Yerchayiv Makas Mardus. And he's Mochiach La Halacha that way from the fact that people all the time write things on their hands. So the assumption that he makes, that this Mishnah Chacham makes, is that kakea below kasav and kasav below kakea are the same thing. That each of them is half of a tattoo. So it doesn't make a difference whether you write on ink on your hand or you cut something open, you cut open your hand and leave a permanent mark that way. Either way, it's going to be the same thing. Either it's either both are aser or both are mutzim. And Chas Chinuch is not convinced about that. He thinks that no, that the kakeah below kasav is nisid rabbanan, kasav below kakeah is not an isra at all. In fact, in the Nishmas Avram, they quote from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, even lecharchila, it's mutter to write with a pen on one's hand, it's not even nisid rabbanan, it's enu miskayim klal. The whole idea of a tattoo is that it's something that's miskayim, it's something that is somewhat permanent, that lasts for some period of time. In the Paschegen Aksav, and that's printed in the Sefer Siach Hasada, I think from Rav Ari Tzvi Frumer, he has an arichus on this, and he writes that from many Rishonim that Kasav below Kakea, Kakua below Ksav is not even an Isser Midrabanan. And there's a discussion about how long something has to last in order for it to be Ksuvas Kaka. That's also a discussion when it comes to these cosmetics, that they have cosmetic tattooing that lasts somewhere between 2 years and 5 years. A woman wants to get eyeshadow or something like that, that will just, she'll never have to put on makeup for the next several years. So it goes under the skin. So in the Tshuva Shraga Meir, he has two snifim lahakal. First of all, he says there's no tsuras haosios. They don't write any letters. And it could be that with no tsuras haosios, there's a tshuva the mi'il tzedaka. That's mechadesh, that if you just make a mark without a tsuras haosios, that's not the isra of tattooing. That it has to be ksavas kaka. Ksav in Hilchos Shabbos is shtei osios, or a picture, but just a mark is not kosev, and therefore it would not be a violation of ksavas kaka either. Certainly not on a daraisa level, maybe yes on a derabana level, but that's one sniff, that's the tshuva of the meal tzedaka. And the other sniff he tries to use in the Shraga Meir about the cosmetic tattooing is the idea that it doesn't last very long. That, I mean, it lasts a long time, but not forever. It's not it's not permanent. It's not miskayim la'olam. So the question is that true that if it's not miskayim la'olam, that by definition it's not a tattoo? It certainly sounds that way from Rashi and Chumash and from the Aruch Chaim and many other Rishonim. However, the Nemuka Yosef writes that once your kara oro hiniach bo ba'osu srita v'nikera sham zman gadol. He says that it's there for a zman gadol. Zman gadol, he doesn't quantify, but it doesn't sound like it's forever. It sounds like even a zman gadol would be a violation of some iser. So the cosmetic tattooing, you have to figure out if that's enough. If it's purely just for cosmetic reasons, is that really enough of a reason to be makel that you're going to rely on these shitos dechuyos? Rav Eliashiv is quoted in a number of different contexts for someone who's nebuch sick, someone, a woman who had to get a mastectomy or whatever, and they rebuild her with plastic surgery, so they need to tattoo on the nipples in order to make it look natural, in order to make her feel normal again. So Rav Eliashiv is makel in that case, because he says based on the mil tzedakah, it's probably only an iser derabanan, because there's no ksiva, there's no osios, plus you're dealing with a chola over here, you're dealing with a significant emotional issue, you're also dealing with kavod abrios. So he thought for the iser derabanan we could definitely be makel in that case. When I asked Rav Shechter about a similar shaila, he thought that he said that's what they quote from Rav Eliashiv. He was the posek hador. He says if Rav Eliashiv said that, then you can rely that on that shita of Rav Eliashiv. Okay. So that's some of the issues that relate to. Oh, one more thing, just to mention, there is a lot of people sometimes. I've been asked a few times for some reason about whether a person is obligated to remove a tattoo that they have already. Let's say a person becomes a bal tshuva and they have tattoos. A person is megayer and they have tattoos from before. And when they in the case of bal tshuva, they did a be'isr. In the case of a ger, they didn't even do a be'isr. Or you have Holocaust survivors that had tattoos on their arms. So is there a requirement to remove such tattoos? So the pashut pshat is no. Why would there be in this? Why would there be a requirement to remove the tattoo? There's an issur to put a tattoo on, but once it's there, what would be the issur in keeping it there? However, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Beis in the Mosach HaShabbos at the end of Malacha Lamed Hei writes, Nirla Niyazdaiti HaMochik Suvizkaka B'Shabbos Chayiv La Rambam Davei Tikun. If you're mochik a tattoo on Shabbos, you're chayiv according to the Rambam because it's called a tikun. Why is it called a tikun? Because for Yisrael to have a tattoo, it's Asur Mishum Chukas Akum, so you're being Mesakin yourself. Ah, you only get malchus when you put a tattoo on, not when you have a tattoo. Well, kalpanim, to keep it on you is not right for a Jew. A Jew should not have a tattoo. Sounds from the Minchas Chinuch that there is an inyan to dafka go through tattoo removal if a person already has one. They say that they asked Rav Lezer Silver about Zechron Levracha about removing Holocaust survivors removing tattoos, and he says adraba, you have to keep them on, and by keeping them on, you're being mekayim the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek each and every day. That by keeping the tattoo, he says if a Jewish blood is spilled somewhere, Rav Zilberstein writes, he saw somewhere written that you're not allowed to paint over that area and to be mochik the dam, because we want to be ma'orer chema on the goyim who committed these acts of anti-Semitism and of terror against the Jewish people. And you have a similar idea in Shuvas Mi Mamakim, Chelek Aleph, Simon Chav Zayin, where he says that the tattoos, by keeping the tattoos of the Nazis, were showing that our Kedusha Shemo Yisbarach Haragnu Kalayom, that people were gave up their life for Kiddush Hashem, Doresh Domim Osam Zachar Lo Shachach Tzakas Anavim. And through that, we're reminding ourselves of the commitment we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commitment to us to not forget about the Mesiris Nefesh that Klal Yisrael has had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that was the opinion of the large majority of Poskim, that there was no requirement to remove the tattoos, and Adraba, probably better to keep them on as a way of reminding ourselves what happened and what they had done to us. Okay, says the Gemara now. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Adi yichtov ani Hashem mamish. You know, this last sheet of your Rabbi Shimon, you're only chayiv when you write Shem Hashem. You only if you have Shem Hashem as a tattoo, you're going to be chayiv. Amalei lo. Kidetani bar kapara einu chayiv ad sheyichtov Shem avodos kochavim. No, it means if you write a Shem avodah zara, not Shem Hashem. Shnar ruksuvus kaka lo tinu bechem ani Hashem. Ani Hashem v'lo acher. The point is not the ani Hashem, it's that ani Hashem v'lo acher, that there is no other God. So don't show any sort of loyalty or allegiance to any avodah zara by tattooing their name on your skin. Amrav Malkia, Amrav Adabar Ava. Asulo la adam shitein efer mikla al gabi makaso. That a person who has an open wound should not put the ashes in the wound that will color in the wound. It's usher for a person to do that. Mipreshen niris k'ksovas kaka, because that looks like k'ksovas kaka. It looks like a tattoo. Amr of Nachum Reid Ravika. So Rav Nachum Reid Ravika just comments. You know, there are six different halachos that were said by either Rav Malkiya or Rav Malkiyo. So how do we keep straight who said what? So he said, Shvud, Shvachos, Vigumos, Rav Malkiyo. So what does that mean? Shvud is the halacha in Maseches Beitza Daf Chavches. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that after you roast meat on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to be metaltel, the spit that the meat was roasted on, because it has become ma'us. So you have to do tiltel menatzad and just leave it off in the corner somewhere so no one gets hurt from it. But you're not allowed to just move around the spit. Shvachos is a halacha in Ksubis Daf Nuntesam Beis, that a woman who gets married and brings in four shvachos to the marriage is potter from doing the malachos for her husband. But Belazar says, even if she brings in 1,000 shvachos, where we force her to do certain malachos for her husband, because for a woman to do nothing all day, they didn't have women in the workplace, for her to just do nothing all day, batala mevi lidei zima, is going to lead to inappropriate behavior. You don't want her to be bored doing nothing all day. So that's where someone said that the halachos like Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Malkiyo. So, and then gumos is halacha in Nida Daf Nun Beis, that a tinokas that's 12 years old, v'shneimas reishanav yamecha, that has shtei sa'aros, is considered to be a gedola. So Rav Chelba says in the name of Rav Huna that if there is if the place where the two hairs come out there are gumos, only then there are holes, there are pores that it comes from, only then is she considered a gedola. Shem Rav Adabaravit says that if there are gumos, even if there are no holes, it's a simon of, even if there's no hairs, there are just gumos, it's a simon of gadlus. So all three of those statements, that was Rav Malkiyo. Whereas Beloris, Efer Mikla, and Gvina are Rav Malkiyo. Beloris is Halach and Avodah Zarah Daf Chavtes, that a Jew who gives a haircut to a guy, when he gets to the Beloris, the part of the hair that he grows, L'shem the Avodah Zarah, he has to leave it there, meaning he has to leave the area around it, 3 atzbaos off to the side of the Beloris, so that he's not accentuating the Beloris. This was hair that was grown Dafka, L'shem Avodah Zarah. Efer Mikla is our sugya, that you're not allowed to put on an open wound this ash, because it's going to leave a permanent mark. And Gavina is Gavina of sugya of Zara Daf Chavtes, cheese of Besu Nike, that the Chum said it's Asa Ba'achila, but it's Mutar Ba'ana. And one of the reasons that the Gemara gives is because they would smear it with Chazer Shmelt to give it a certain gleam on the edge. So that's Rav Malkiya. But Rav Papa says that when he says Shud Shva Gumos from Malkiyo, it's not correct. No, masnisenu masnisa. Anything that's from a Mishnah or a Braisa, Rav Malkiya. Shmaitza, but that which was only a Meimer of Amorayim, that's Rav Malkiyo. V'simenayich, and the way to remember who said the Mishnayis is Masnisa Malkisa. The Mishnayis and the Braisas are like a Malchus with regard to, in comparison to the Amorayim, and someone who is like a Malchus, like a queen with a comparison to the Amorayim, and the person who spoke about them has a name that's Doma to an Nekeva. So his name is like Malka, that's Rav Malkiyah, it's like a Lashon Nekeva, whereas Rav Malkiyo sounds more like a Lashon Zachar. So Gemara says, okay, my Benayu, what's the difference between these two presentations of who said what? So Ikeh Benayu, the difference between them is Shvachos, is the case of the woman who has 4 Shvachos, does she still have to do any work for her husband? That we pass in the Kriblazu that she still has to be Osa Betzemer in order that she not be Mevatel all day. According to Rav Nachman, that was Rav Malkiyo. According to Rav Papa, since it was a Mishnah, that was Rav Malkiya. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye Kapar Afilu Arivdo Dukasilta. He wouldn't even put Efer Mikla in even the small wound that was left from bloodletting. Rav Ashi Amar Kol makam sheyesh sham makam, makasu mechiyach alav. Anytime that there's a makah there, it's no problem, because it's makasu mechiyach alav. Everyone could see that you're doing this for therapeutic reasons, and not because you're trying to associate with any avodah zarah or anything of that nature. So then there's no problem automatically as soon as there's a makah there. Okay, new mission now. Nazir sheyeshosa kalayom. If a nazir is drinking wine all day, ein chayv ala achas. He's only chayv once for the issur of drinking wine. Amrlo al tishtal tishtavu shosa chayv al kalachas vachas. But if each time they keep giving him asra, don't drink, he drinks more. Don't drink, he drinks more. So he's chayv for each and every one. Similarly, hayi metami lemesim kalayom einu chayv ala achas. He's metami one mace after another all day long. He's only chayv once. Amrlo al tatami bu metami chayv al kalachas vachas. They keep warning him, and he keeps doing it. He's chayv for each and every one. Similarly, hayi megaleh kalayom einu chayv ala achas. He keeps cutting his hair all day. He's only chayv once. Amrlo al tegaleh bu megaleh chayv al kalachas vachas. But they keep telling him, don't do it. He keeps violating the asra. He's chayv for each one. And those are all three isurim of a nazir. But similarly, outside of isurim of a nazir, hayilavish beklayim kalayom. The guy's wearing shatnez all day. Einu chayv alachas. He's only chayv once. Amrlo al tilbash v'poshe v'lovish chayv al kalachas vachas. They keep giving him asra, and he keeps on removing the klayim and putting it back on and taking it off, putting it back on. He's chayv for each and every time. Yesh choresh telem echad v'chayv alav mishum shmon alavin. Says the Mishnah, a person can do one act of charisha and be in violation of eight los hases, and that is the following: hachoresh b'shor v'chamar. A person is choresh with a shor and chamar together, so that's klayim right there. V'hein muktashin, and both the shor and the chamar are hegdish, so it's a violation of hegdish on the shor, a violation of hegdish on the chamar. That's three lavin so far. U'bekilei akerem, that's four. What he's being choresh is kilei akerem, so that's a fourth lav. U'beshvius, and it's during the shemitah year, so that's five. V'yom tov, and it's on yantov, but he's not allowed to be plowing. That's six. V'kohen, seven. V'nazir, and a nazir b'beis atuma, and it's in an area that's tameh, so that's why it's also for both the kohen and a nazir. So there you have eight isurim all at one time. Chanani ben Chachina yomer afalovish klayim. And what if he's wearing shatnez also? So that will be a ninth. So amalo eno hashem. Yeah, and he might be eating a ham sandwich also, but that's not part of the same thing. We're talking about for the act of charisha. The fact that he's wearing shatnez is totally unrelated. So amalem afanazir lo hashem. The fact that he's a nazir is also irrelevant to the act of charisha. So why would you include nazir and not include the possibility that he's wearing klayim? The Rambam in Perusha Mishnayos says that you can't ask the kasha, how could he be chayv for all these things? I ain isur chal al isur. He says, no, the case is they're all chal at a single time, at a single moment. Neither one is chal before the other. So bebas achas, an isur could be chal al isur. So the Achronim asked Shar Melech and the Shagas Aryeh, the isur of Shavias l'chora comes before the isur of Yom Tov. So how could the isur of Yom Tov be chal? Ein isur chal al isur. So they both say pashut. Who says the isur Shavias comes before the isur of Yom Tov? The Shemitah year starts on Rosh Hashanah. We're not talking about Stami Yantiv, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. So if it's Rosh Hashanah, the Yisra of Yantiv and the Yisra of Shviz, Eino Chinami. And the other Yantiv, this case wouldn't work. But for Rosh Hashanah, the case would work. Other Achronim give other Terutzim, but L'chora, that's the most Pasha the Teretz to this Kasha. It's also a discussion when we say that the case of Kalayim is Shor V'chamor. They use a Shor and a Chamor. Is that Dafka, that it has to be one kosher animal and one non-kosher animal? In order to be a violation of Kalayim, there's a Mishnah in the 8th paragraph a klayim that says lo sachrosh of kile behema is bein bebehema im behema, bein chaya im behema, behema im chaya, tmeya im tmeya, tahora im Torah, tmeya im Torah. No difference if they're both kosher, they're both not kosher. One's kosher, one's not kosher. However, there's machlokes rishonim whether kile behema applies by shnei minim tahorim minat Torah. Meaning, certainly that Mishnah tells us midrabanan at least there's an issur of two kosher animals. But some of the rishonim suggest that by shnei minim tahorim, like the Mishnah sounds, it's an issur minat Torah. But the Rivan says that therefore it's lav dafka that it's a shor v'chamar. It could have been any two animals. However, other rishonim hold that the whole issur min haTorah is with shnei minim is only when it's a min Torah and a min tameh. But shnei minim tahorim, you would not get malchus. The whole issur is midrabanan. So the Rush in the halachos katanos and klayim just raises the question: why would the Mishnah throw them all together in a single line? Oh, whether it's a tahorim Torah, tameh and tameh, tahorim tameh. Whoa, those are very different according to what we're saying. Tahorim tahora is only midrabanan. Tahorim tameh is daraisa. So that's the raya that the Rush has, that lechorah it's got to be daraisa, even if it's tahora im tahora. Okay, says the Gemara now. So on the side it changes to Amar Rav Bibi, Amar Rav Asi, lo poshet velo vishmamish, ela afilu machnus mosi beis yadon kli shelo. Person doesn't have to continually take off and put back on the clothing in order to violate klayim multiple times, even if he just takes out the sleeve. He doesn't take off the whole garment and puts his arm back in the sleeve. Machmir Rav Acha b'Rei D'Ravika, iu li v'afukin. Rav Acha b'Rei D'Ravika demonstrated. Rav Ashi Amar afilu lo shoa ela kidei livshot velo boshchayev. He says, no, even if you don't take it off at all, you leave it on for a long enough time to be poshet velo vesh. That also you're going to be chayev. So the Ritva asks in the name of the Rama, and then Muka Yosef asks, how can you chayev malchus on shehiya? You didn't do any maisa. Salav shem bo maisa. Sayin lo kana lov. What do you mean you get malchus for waiting long enough to have removed it? So Tosfos Masech HaShavuos and Muka Yosef suggests that the reason that you mechayev on shehiya kamaisa is because the tchilas halavisha was al yidei maisa. So there was a maisa in this Israel levisha, but it all goes back to that initial levisha. The Ritva writes in the name of Tosfos that since you could have taken it off and you didn't take it off and you remain wearing it, that's considered like a maisa levisha and it's included in lo tilbash. It's a question of exactly what that means. You could have? What is what you could have? What does that matter? So Pashas is also saying like Tosos that the initial levisha was with a maisa and that counts as a maisa. Yesh Choresh tell them, so we said that even plowing a single row in a field you chayev 8 lavin. Amar Yani bechabur nimnu v'gamru hachofe beklayim loke, that even someone who covers up klayim with dirt gets malchus. Amar len Rabbi Yochan lav mishna seinu izu. Of course, that's our mishnah. Yesh Choresh tell them achor bechayev lo mishum shmona lavin hachoresh b'shor b'chamar vein mukdashin v'klayim bekerem. So you're plowing and it's klayim bekerem and you're chayev for kilei akerem. Hay choresh mechayev mishum klayim heichem mishkachsa. What's the case that a choresh is chayev because of kilei akerem? Lav de mechsi b'hadi dazil. Isn't it because you're covering it with dirt and that's enough to be chayev for klayim? So amalei ilav de deloy lachas b'mi mishkachs marganisa tusa. Yeah, I know that it's enough in a raya from our mishnah. You know why you realize it's raya from a mishnah? Because I just told you that halacha that when you cover klayim with dirt, that you're going to be chayev. You never would have chapped the raya from the mishnah without me. If I wouldn't have picked up the rock, you wouldn't have seen the gem that was hidden underneath. If not for the fact that a great man praised your raya, Havamina, I would have said that there's no raya at all from our mishnah. That when the mishnah says that you're plowing with klayim, it's not because covering klayim with dirt is chayiv, but rather masnisa mani Rabbi Kivahi. I would have said that our mishnah follows the shita of Rabbi Kiva, damar mekayim klayim loka. That one is chayiv malchus even for just being mekayim klayim, even if you don't. You don't do anything else just other than leaving it there. My Rabbi Akiva, where do we find Rabbi Akiva says such a thing? Titania, Menachish, Amechava, Beklayim Loke, Rabbi Akiva Omer Afa Mekayim, that even just keeping Klayim around. My time is Rabbi Akiva, why does Rabbi Akiva think Mekayim Klayim gets Malkus? Based on what? Titania, because it's a Brisa, Sadchul Sizra Klayim, Ainli El Zoreh. From the Pasuk, I would only see that if you're Zoreh Klayim, if you plant Klayim, you're going to be Chayiv Mekayim Inayin. How do I know that just leaving it there is also going to be chayiv tamalomar klayim sadchalo? If you just take three words out of the pasuk out of context, klayim sadchalo, klayim in your field, no. So don't have any klayim in your field, meaning even to be mekayim, even to have klayim in your field, apparently is going to be a violation of klayim. So here's a machlokas rishonim. According to Rabbi Akiva, you get malchus with no maisa whatsoever, just by, you see your field, there's klayim there, and you just don't do anything about it, and that's enough for malchus. So the Rivan writes that the chiv malchus be mekayim klayim is even without a maisa, just leaving it there, not being mevatel and not undoing it. However, many other rishonim, a whole group of other the Rishon Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ritva and Tosfos all hold that even according to Rabbi Kiva, the Chiv Malkus is only if you did a Maisa. What sort of Maisa? You made a fence around it to protect it. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Mekayim Klayim is you find a field that's Zerua Klayim and you do more work on the field in order that the Peros will sprout. So you're Mekayim Klayim through the Avodas HaKarka. So Rabbi Kiva is saying that not only Zoreya Klayim, even if you're Matzmiach Peros that someone else was Zoreya, that's also going to be Chayiv Malkus. Tosfos and the Ritva suggests that if you do no Maisa, it can't be Loka because it's a lav She'ein Bo Maisa. So Tosa says, according to those Rishonim, that Rabbi Kiva would say you chayiv even without a Maisa, Rabbi Kiva himself holds lav She'ein Bo Maisa and Loka Nalav. So what are you going to say? So he says that it could be Rabbi Kiva holds that even though normally lav She'ein Bo Maisa Loka Nalav, the Rash Mishantz writes in the 8th Parak of Klayim, by Klayim it could be that it's an exception. Because Mekayim Klayim is Hukash L'Zareya, and just like Zareya is a, although it started with the Maisa, you're Chayiv, but the Hekish to Mekayim teaches us that you could even be Chayiv for Mekayim. Now, really, what this would go back to is the definition of Lav Shein Bo Maisa. There's a Magen Mishnah that writes that a Lav that has that you can violate with a Maisa, even if you didn't actually violate with a Maisa. Let's say you have a Losa, say, could be violated with a Maisa, or it could be violated without a Maisa. Owning Chametz. You could violate it by buying Chametz, you could violate it by just not getting rid of the Chametz that you already own. So sometimes with a Maisa, sometimes without a Maisa. So Magen Mishnah says that's called a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa, even if you violate it without doing a Maisa. So then you understand very well that Mekayim Klayim, even without a Maisa, is going to be something that one could be Chayiv Malkus for. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at Amar Le'ula the Rav Nachman.